This podcast is an abridged version of the audit report entitled Follow-Up Audit, reviewing agencies' implementation of selected performance audit recommendations, which LPA released on March 13, 2019. This audit answers one question. To what extent have agencies implemented selected audit recommendations from performance audits issued in recent years? To answer this question, we reviewed the implementation status of recommendations from three of our recent audits. These audits dealt with the state's foster care and adoption system, safety issues at the Kansas Juvenile Correctional Complex, and the costs and performance of K-12 virtual schools. We collected documents from each agency involved to evaluate whether they'd taken reasonable steps to implement our recommendations. We also interviewed officials from these agencies to resolve our questions and review our findings. Overall, we determined the agencies fully implemented two of the six recommendations from these three audit reports that we selected for review. The first report on which we followed up, part one of our 2016 foster care and adoption audit, answered three questions. One of these questions dealt with whether the Kansas Department for Children and Families, or DCF, followed adequate policies and procedures to ensure children's safety during the removal and placement process. We identified two issues as part of that work. First, DCF didn't ensure that background checks of individuals in foster homes happened as often or as thoroughly as they should have. These checks are required by state law and ensure people convicted of certain crimes, such as sex offenses, drug offenses, or crimes against persons, do not reside, work, or volunteer in foster homes. We found that sampled foster and relative placement homes lacked annual name-based Kansas Bureau of Investigation and child abuse registry checks, and that fingerprint-based checks were only completed for the parents in these homes. Second, DCF didn't always ensure that monthly in-person visits happened for children in foster care, adoptive homes, or children reintegrated with their families. These checks are required by DCF's case management contracts and are another key step in ensuring children are safe in these settings. We couldn't determine whether case management staff and child placing agencies completed the majority of our sampled monthly visits because of either poor documentation or the quality of these visits. Case management staff also didn't conduct monthly aftercare visits with children who've been adopted because DCF policy conflicted with the contract requirement. We made two recommendations to address these issues. Upon reviewing DCF's implementation of our recommendations, we found they'd partially implemented one and fully implemented the other. On the first recommendation, DCF made significant changes to its background check requirements and process, but some of these processes weren't in policy, and DCF didn't have a process to ensure name-based registry checks were completed for relative placements. Specifically, DCF met the requirement for conducting one-time fingerprint-based checks and annual name-based checks for anyone over 14 years old who worked, lived, or regularly volunteered in foster homes and relative placements. DCF managed background checks itself for foster families and required the case management contractors to manage them for relative placements. DCF officials told us they'd recently begun confirming that the case management contractors were collecting fingerprints but hadn't included this process in its policies. Further, DCF policy required everyone in foster homes and relative placements to have an annual name-based child abuse registry check. DCF ran these checks itself for foster homes and required the case management contractors to run them for relative placements. However, DCF didn't have a process in place to confirm the contractors ran these checks as required. On the second recommendation, DCF updated its policies to require case management contractors to attempt monthly visits with children and their adoptive families for 12 months after an adoption. This aligns DCF policy with the case management contract. DCF also created an audit unit to provide additional oversight of the child welfare system, including monthly visits by case management staff and child placing agencies. DCF officials told us this audit unit will also monitor contract and performance outcomes and periodically review samples of cases to ensure compliance with policies and procedures, contract terms, and outcomes. The second report, our 2015 audit of the Kansas Juvenile Correctional Complex, or KJCC, was a follow-up audit of our 2012 report on this facility. The 2012 audit had identified problems related to safety and security, personnel management, and KJCC's overall security environment. We found in 2015 that many improvements had been made since 2012, but identified three relevant continuing issues. First, staff did not adequately supervise juvenile offenders. Correctional officers must conduct regular visual checks of juvenile offenders and document these checks in a paper log. Our 2015 sample work showed officers either missed or were late in conducting these checks, including for juvenile offenders on suicide precaution. Second, KJCC officials didn't appear to follow a consistent process regarding damaged tools. KJCC staff use a variety of tools and utensils throughout the facility for maintenance, vocational programs, and eating. Our 2015 audit showed broken or unserviceable tools were not destroyed monthly in accordance with policy, and some were being repurposed but not tracked. Finally, KJCC's database for managing staff disciplinary actions was not maintained or updated such that officials could use it to ensure staff discipline was consistent and increasingly severe. Our 2015 audit found KJCC officials had created a database to track staff discipline, but that this database was not properly maintained. Upon reviewing KJCC officials' implementation of our recommendations to address these issues, we found they'd fully implemented one and partially implemented two. On the first recommendation, KJCC officials hadn't implemented a formal process to verify that officers performed visual checks on juvenile offenders. They described a process to verify visual checks and document this verification, but this process wasn't in written policy. On the second recommendation, we reviewed 2 years of tool destruction logs and found KJCC officials generally destroyed tools monthly during this period as required by policy. Officials told us they also stopped repurposing tools. On the third recommendation, KJCC officials reported continuing to develop and implement a disciplinary database. This database appeared to contain the appropriate fields to track disciplinary action, but it had not been consistently maintained over time. The current KJCC Human Resources Manager described a process of using and updating the database with each new disciplinary action, but wasn't aware of any plans for annual database reconciliation. The third and final report, our 2015 audit of K-12 virtual schools, was a follow-up audit of our 2007 report on this topic, which had identified problems with the Kansas State Department of Education, or KSDE's, adherence to its policies on overseeing virtual schools, policies which didn't adequately address many of the risks related to operating virtual schools. Our 2015 audit found KSDE had improved its oversight of virtual schools by implementing most of the recommendations from our 2007 audit. However, this audit also found two remaining issues related to virtual school oversight. First, KSDE sometimes approved districts to operate virtual schools, even though they didn't meet all the requirements for doing so. School districts wanting to run virtual school programs must submit documentation to KSDE confirming they meet state requirements, including employing Kansas-licensed teachers and adopting a policy for providing special education services. Of the 14 virtual schools we reviewed in 2015, we found that two had implemented processes that violated KSDE requirements, and that KSDE had not followed up with these districts to ensure these violations had been addressed before issuing approval. Second, KSDE didn't require virtual schools to submit legally required teacher training reports. Of the 14 virtual schools we reviewed in 2015, none had submitted annual reports detailing the training they'd provided to teachers in accordance with state law. We found that KSDE officials had partially implemented our recommendation to address these issues. Although KSDE didn't always require districts to comply with all requirements before approving their virtual school applications, it did provide guidance to them on how and when to submit teacher training reports. KSDE officials told us they required new virtual schools to comply with all requirements before approving their applications. But they also said they did not require existing virtual schools to comply with all requirements before approving their renewal applications. KSDE officials told us they take the position that it's not within their department's authority to stop existing virtual schools from operating. We didn't issue any new recommendations as a result of this follow-up audit. In January 2019, we provided copies of the draft report to DCF, the Kansas Department of Corrections, and KSDE. These agencies were not required to submit formal responses to the audit, but officials from DCF and the Department of Corrections chose to do so. These officials generally agreed with our findings and conclusions and provided additional detail in their efforts to implement our recommendations. Our full audit report, which contains more detailed information related to our findings and methodology, is available on our website at kslpa.org. There, you can also access the full range of our audit reports and podcasts. LPA is also available by phone at 785-296-3792. Give us a call to request a printed copy of this or one of our other audit reports. This podcast was produced by Legislative Post Audit. Thank you for listening.